We're so thankful for our pastors in this church, and Alyssa is co-pastor slash children's pastor right now. Alyssa, will you just come and share what God has laid on your heart? Praise the Lord.
I was holding off walking up as long as possible so Daniel wouldn't take off because nobody was sitting beside him, but he did good. He did good. Well, as you can hear, my throat is a little gone. Every time I leave the valley and come back, I have allergies, so I think I'm totally allergic to the valley. But it's all right. I've been here over 20 years, and it always happens. If I go to San Antonio, I feel horrible when I get back, but it's going to be okay. We went to summer camp. I wasn't sick the whole week. I think we hit, like, what is that, the checkpoint? And I was like, my throat's starting to feel scratchy, and I knew it was coming. Sure enough, I was sick all this week, and I'm still trying to get over it. So please pray for me, because this afternoon I'm flying out to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, for IDEA to train people over there. So I know I'm either going to get worse or I'm going to get better, and then I'm going to come back and feel it again. So I don't know, but it's okay. My lovely sister-in-law, Odie, she's like, yep, she's got horrible allergies, and she's like, I'm with you. I gotcha. We're going to pray each other through it. But God is an amazing God, and I would love for Casey to go ahead and pull up a special picture I want to base this sermon on. Don't know if we can see it very well, but it's just something that I found, and it's just been kind of an inspiration and keeps me grounded and focused. Because you can see it's like a storm. The storm is massive. It's huge. It seems like there's no end to it. But then there's a rainbow, and then the storm is gone. And that's kind of how my life has been. Oh, thank you, Matt. We can keep that off the whole time. It'll make me feel better. You can see there, like, right? That storm looks terrible. It's dark. You can't see anything through it. Then there's a rainbow, and then there's clear. And that's how I really feel my life has been. And I pray that it's going to even be even clearer, because what does a rainbow signify to us as Christians? A promise. Amen. A promise. So you might be in a storm, but the promise is still there. You're going to see that promise fulfilled, and that storm is going to be over, and it's going to be gone. And it's going to be clear skies, and you're going to be filled with joy and peace. But there's times where you're in that storm, and you can't see that rainbow yet. And it's just dark and heavy. And we've all been there. Raise your hand. Who's been in a storm of life before? Amen. If you didn't raise your hand, you're probably under the age of 12. You're like, my life's been great. But we've all been through something. And you might say, well, my storm's been bigger than somebody else. Or my storm took longer to come through than somebody else. It doesn't matter. We've all been there. Casey, go ahead and put up the title of this sermon. The title of this sermon is called, It's Almost Over. Not it's almost over like give up. It's almost over that. That rainbow is still there, that you're almost at it. So keep going. Don't lose faith. You're almost at that promise. You're almost at that rainbow. The reason I wanted to share this is because the last couple of weeks, God's been telling me it's almost over, specifically to Daniel. I told myself, don't cry at the very beginning because then you won't make it through. I'm going to hold it in. I'll cry at the end. I'll let it go at the end. Keep me to my word, Casey. And I was like, great, that's amazing. It's almost over. Daniel's going to be healed. But I felt that many times before. But then last week, some amazing individual, and I won't name her by name, but she came to Elias and I, and she said, God has told me to tell you. Daniel's healing is coming. And I won't share everything she said, because I think that's incredibly personal, relevant to our family. But so there's been a couple of other people that have just had that confirmation, and they've said, it's coming. His healing is coming. And I'm like, awesome. That picture, the rainbow, the promise, it's coming. But I'm like, but how much longer, and can I really believe this? And I've felt this before. But it's also that special sweet person said, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I relate that to like a hurricane. You feel like you go through the eye of the storm and it's peaceful. But that just means it's getting worse on the other side of that. And sometimes that's how we feel in our lives. And that's how I felt with Daniel. So when she said, it's going to get worse, but you need to thank God for the little mini miracles along the way. And I was like, wow. We have always forgotten that in our lives, haven't we? God takes us through something, and something amazing happens. It might be a mini miracle. And we're like, oh, yay, great. But we don't pause to think what an incredible miracle that was, even if it was little. Because we're still looking for the big one. People that try to play the lottery, they get upset when they only win $2. Like, hey, you won something. Don't play the lottery, okay? Don't gamble. But like, they get upset when they don't win enough. It's not enough. And we as Christians do the exact same thing. God does something for us. And we're like, oh, that's nice. But it's not big enough yet. It's like, get out of your selfish, childish attitude. God just blessed you with something. Be thankful for it. But don't lose the confidence in him that he's still going to do the big things. Amen? Well, there's this funny story I came across in the Bible, and we're going to pull it up. It's that great person, Paul, who was formerly Saul. And the story we're going to read is in Acts 27. Where he's a prisoner, he's in his ship, and they're destined to get to Rome, and he's going to be on trial. He's like, okay, whatever, put me on trial. God's still good. God's still in control. But before we get to that story, I want to tell you a little bit more about Daniel. I got off my notes there. Let me tell you a little bit more about Daniel and why to us it's been a storm. And why God told me, and I'll read you word for word. I wrote it down. You have been weakened in this storm for over a decade, but I am bringing an end to this storm. There will be peace, healing, and restoration. For us, the storm has been going on for over a decade. Daniel 17. And when he was 2 years old, two and a half or so, went to the pediatrician. They said, oh, we forgot to give him some of his shots. Can we give him some extras? And I'm like, well, you're the doctor. If you think it's okay, go ahead. The kid got about 7 shots that one day. And when we got home, he just sat and stared into space, and that wasn't like him. He was acting just like Casey, who's 18 months older than him. They would play, they would laugh, he would chit-chat little 2-year-old words with her, and it was great. But that very day, he came home, and he just stared into space, and it was like you couldn't snap him out of it. A couple of days later, he would just run around the table like he was a madman, and he was not himself. Took him back to the doctor, and she said, oh, he'll get over it. He's just traumatized that we had to hold him down and give him all these shots. He's just mad. And at the time, I was like, well, that sounds kind of stupid. I've never heard a doctor say he's just mad, and that's why he's acting this way. Okay, you're the doctor. You know best. Well, things just progressively got worse. He wouldn't look at you. He didn't want to be hugged and touched anymore. Things drastically changed for that little boy. And we didn't know what was wrong with him. Now, I'm not saying don't get your kids vaccinated, okay? We have continued to vaccinate Sarah, but we only do it 2 at a time because we just don't know, and we're not experts. Casey's going to be researching autism over the next 3 years with her DNA and genetics, so maybe she'll figure it out. I don't know. But we don't know what caused it. Maybe it was the shots, maybe not. Doesn't matter. It happened, and we can't go back and try to change it. We don't have a time machine. So that happened. When he was 4, he went to pre-K, and he was saying his alphabet, doing a lot of things the other kids couldn't do, but he couldn't talk. He still couldn't talk. He wouldn't say anything. And he wasn't hyperactive. He acted normal. He just couldn't talk. But when it came to, like, read these words or read these letters or read these numbers, he could do it. None of the other kids in the class could. So the school decided, let's get him tested for speech so we can get him some speech therapy. So we went through that whole process. This so-called specialist came in and said, your son's a vegetable. He'll never be able to learn anything. And my jaw dropped. Before I could get a word or even a sound out of my mouth, the teacher said, you are, And she said a very bad word. She said a bad word to him, basically. You don't know what you're talking about. That's crazy. He knows more than any other student in my class. He's not a vegetable. He's capable of learning. We just have to figure out how to get him to learn it. It's just different. So the teacher, before I could say anything, kept going, just hammering this guy. And she looked at the principal and said, I demand that you get another specialist to come and evaluate this child, because that man is not qualified to do that job. So that was a mini miracle right there, that God stepped in and had somebody else say, no, we're not going to accept that. Let's get another opinion. So another professor from the university came, and she brought someone else, and they spent 4 days with Daniel, just in the class, observing and watching, versus this other guy did like 20 minutes, and he knew everything. So they spent 4 days, watched him. Daniel was kissing their hands and hugging them. He was being his true Daniel. After those 4 days, they met with Elias and I and said, yes, he has a speech delay, but autism is also clearly present in his characteristics and in his mannerisms. So we got the diagnosis of autism. It broke our hearts. Just imagine sitting there in a room, you're thinking your child just has a speech delay, and they say a word you hadn't even imagined, autism. And my mind automatically raced to all these things you've seen, like the worst case scenario is the kids rocking, banging their heads on things, never being able to be in society, basically. But we prayed for Daniel, and we kept praying for Daniel. We would see little mini miracles. But over this last, basically, decade, it's gotten much harder. And much, much harder because he's bigger than me. When he was little, I could control him. But now he's bigger than me. You saw him this morning. He's like huge compared to me. So when I want him to do something and he doesn't want to, he just pushes me away. Or he'll grab my arms and drag me places where I don't want to go because he wants something. So now, basically, he's become violent. And it's hard. So I'm sharing all of that to tell you that's a storm that we haven't seen the promise come to be fulfilled yet, but it's coming. That storm sometimes seems a little bit more calm, and we can get through it okay. Sometimes that storm rages so hard that Elias and I just go to bed and just cry, and we don't know what to do, and we don't know how to help him. Even like last night, he didn't go to bed till after 4 o'clock. So we're a little tired today. So there's a lot of things that we go through that are incredibly difficult. Yeah, incredibly difficult. But I hope as our church family, you have seen us go through it and not change who we are. We're still your pastors. We will be the same people in this building. The same people you see at Walmart, we're the same people. We're not going to put on a fake show to try to be somebody different or try to be incredibly brave. We are who we are. And that's a great example to everyone around us. Even though we've gone through this storm for so long, we're not going to give up believing that God still has that miracle somewhere. Amen? All right, well, let's get to Acts. Paul is going to go through a storm in this ship. And I'm going to relate it back to our lives, not just mine and Elias with Daniel, but also to you. So bear with me as we read. I'm a former school librarian, and so I love to tell stories. So it's a long chapter, but we will get through it very quickly. Let's go to verse 10, Acts 27, verse 10. It says, men, and this is Paul warning the people in that ship, men, I can see that there will be a lot of trouble on this trip. The ship, the cargo, even our lives may be lost. But the captain and the owner of the ship did not agree with Paul. Of course not. They need to get that ship and that cargo going. They need to make some money. And the officer believed what the captain and owner of the ship said. Since the harbor was not a good place for the ship to stay for winter, most of the men decided that the ship should leave. They hoped we could go to Phoenix and stay there for the winter. Phoenix was a city on the land of Crete. It had a harbor which faced southwest and northwest. Verse 13 reads, when a good wind began to blow from the south, the men on the ship thought, this is the wind we wanted, and now we have it. Don't we feel that way sometimes? Ooh, God is taking me in the direction I really want to go. Woo! Good thinking, God. We're thinking the same thing. So they pulled up the anchor. We sailed very close to the island of Crete. But then a strong wind came, named Northeaster, came from the island. The ship was caught in it and could not sail against it. So we stopped trying and let the wind carry us. We do the same thing, don't we? Like I said, ooh, yeah, things are going smooth. The sea is nice and calm, and God's taking us where we want to go. But then, oh, here comes a wind, and we're rattled. And we just give up and say, all right, whatever's going to happen, happens. And then verse 18 reads, the next day the storm was blowing us so hard that the men threw out some of the cargo, which meant some of their money was just gone. Verse 19, a day later, with their own hands, they threw out the ship's equipment. When we could not see the sun or the stars for many days and the storm was very bad, we lost all hope of being saved. And we do the same thing. When we see that storm is out of control, we have no idea how to get out of it, and we can't see where God is taking us. It's just dark. When we lived in West Texas, there was a time David Jr. and I, we drove out of town and we went to the nearest Walmart. It was like 30 minutes away. Imagine that. Well, Walmart 30 minutes away? Yeah. We're spoiled with Walmart like 20, maybe 5 minutes away. But we had to drive 20 minutes and we'd gone to a Walmart. We were driving back and it got so dark we couldn't see anything. Right, David? Not even the center line of the road. You couldn't see the front of the car. It was so pitch black. And it was in the afternoon. So in West Texas, it should have been bright, sunny, hot, and boiling you. But it was pitch black. And I just started praying, and I don't know how old I was, but I started speaking in tongues because I thought we were going to die right then and there. And David was like, don't cry, don't cry. And he's freaking out, so it makes me freak out more. And I was like, stop the car. He's like, if I stop, whoever's behind me won't see us, and we're going to get crashed into. And my logic was, well, what if somebody in front of us stops? We're going to crash into them. But we kept going, and we didn't know there was a tornado in that area. We were in the pitch black. You couldn't see that tornado. But a mini miracle here. We got home. We did not get in the tornado. The nearby town got pretty much decimated. But we were safe. We didn't get hit by that tornado. If we wouldn't have seen it, we wouldn't have heard it because we had the radio up so loud trying to sing and praise God that we were going to get home. So we have that in our lives. That storm hit so bad, we don't know what's going to happen. But I wrote this down to make sure I tell you. Even though we're going through the darkest moment of that storm, don't lose your hope. That rainbow is still there. You just haven't gotten to it yet. You got to keep believing. You got to keep praying because that storm might rage around you, but there's going to be an answer. Your throat might die, but you're going to keep going. Amen? All right. Verse 21 said, go ahead. Read verse 21 while I get a glass of water. All right. Did you have a chance to read it? All right. So they'd gone without food. And I researched this. They said they had gone without food and that storm raged for about 13 days. I'm like, 13 days? Oh, that's not too bad. We've been through it a decade. But then I thought, wait, 13 days without food? No, I can't handle that. I might lose some pounds, but I can't handle 13 days without food. So they'd gone for about 13 days without food. And God bless Paul. He said, if you had listened to me. And I'm like, what a mean Christian. He's like, if you just listened to me. And I'm like, no, but you know what? He's right, because he's telling them, I told you not to do this because God told me. If you had listened to me, you would have been listening to God, but you didn't, and now we have troubles. And verse 22 reads, but now I tell you to cheer up because none of you will die. And they probably looked at him, oh, yeah, right. Only the ship will be lost. last night an angel came to me from the God I belong to and who I worship. The angel said, Paul, don't be afraid. You must stand before Caesar. And God has promised you that he will save the lives of everyone sailing with you. So men, have courage. I trust in God that everything will happen as the angel told me. And here's the kicker. But we will crash on an island. So I was thinking, those men must have been like, okay, you told us something that God told you was going to happen. It really happened. Oh, okay. We believe that. Now it's like they think of him like a fortune teller. Now he says, we're not going to die. We're all going to be saved. And they're probably like, yay! And then he comes with but we're going to crash. Like, wait a minute. That's not what I wanted to hear. And I think we are exactly the same way with God. God tells us something. We believe it. We see the many things, the many miracles happen. And we're like, yeah, God, it's going to happen. The big miracle's coming. But then something bad happens and we start to doubt. Coughing partners. Thanks, Alec. We doubt because we can't see that rainbow. And we feel that God is just letting things get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And we're just losing hope. And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes with Daniel, I do lose hope. I'm human. Might be a pastor. Might have been a preacher's kid my whole life. But sometimes I lose hope. And my faith has been crushed. Because I can't figure out with my mind, how can God do that? It's impossible. Yeah, impossible for me. And when I start to lose faith, I'm starting to quickly see it now and say, oh, no, 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 no. Okay, devil, you might have done that, but I believe God's still going to do something new. I'm going to do something better than the next time. We take one step back. We take 3 or 4 steps backwards. It's okay. We're going to keep going, and we're not going to stop. And when we can't see the light, doesn't matter. Keep believing. And Daniel's talking through the window back there. It's okay. So I am amazed that he told them the storm is almost over, but there's going to be a problem along the way before we're out of this, just like us. Let's go to verse 39. When daylight came, the sailors saw land. They did not know what land it was. They didn't know where they were. But they saw a bay with a beach and wanted to sail the ship to the beach if they could. So there, they're not exactly believing Paul when he said they're going to crash. They still think they can fix it themselves. So they cut the ropes to the anchors and left the anchors in the sea. At the same time, they untied the ropes that were holding the rudders. Then they raised the front sail into the wind and sailed toward the beach. But the ship hit a sandbank. Oop! Unexpected obstacle, just like us. The front of the ship stuck there and could not move, but the back of the ship began to break up from the big waves. The soldiers decided to kill the prisoners so none of them could swim away and escape. But Julius, the officer, wanted to let Paul live and did not allow the soldiers to kill the prisoners. Ooh, blessed little mini miracle there. Instead, he ordered everyone who could swim to jump into the water first and swim to the land. I don't know how to swim, so that would not have pleased me at all. I'm like, what about me? He says, the rest were to follow using wooden boards or pieces of the ship. And every time I read that, I'm like, oh, like Titanic? I'm going to get on the door? Yay! Don't get on the door. What's his name? Jack? Jack, don't get on the door because I'll drown. You get off, even though it's big enough for 2 of us. You know how that whole theory, right? There's room enough on that door. 2 people could get on it, but only Rose could survive. Anyway, so they were left to just figure it out. And this is how all the people made it safely to land. So that second promise that Paul told them, one, we're not going to die, but it's going to get worse. Sure enough, nobody died, but it definitely got worse. Paul's story ended the way just like the angel had said, and God kept his promise that no one would die. They all made it safely, even if they had to hang on for dear life to a piece of broken ship. I'm here to tell you, if you can't swim through your storm of life, don't worry about it. Hang on to a piece of broken wood. And in this case, that broken piece of wood is the cross. Amen. You hang on to Jesus' promise that you are a child of God and that he sacrificed his life for you. Amen. Hold on for dear life to that broken piece of wood. This storm is almost over. We are going to survive. We're going to survive not because we can do anything special. We're going to survive because God loves us. Amen? And if you doubt how much God loves you, let's go to our next scripture. It's Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to start at verse 17. And for those of you who've been trying to figure out what am I reading, it's not a King James Version. It's something called the New Century Version. And I just like it so much better because it's more plain English. So forgive me if I don't like the old Englishy. Let's go to verse 17. It says, I pray that Christ will live in your hearts by faith and that your life will be strong, not battered, will be strong in love and be built on love. And I pray that you and all God's holy people will have the power to understand the greatness of Christ's love. And here's where I love it. How wide and how long, how high and how deep that love is. Basically, there's no end to it. Remember they used to say the world was flat and that you were going to fall off the end? It's not. It's round. It's the same with God. You'll never find the end to God's love. And in verse 19, it says, Christ's love is greater than anyone can ever know. I pray that you will be able to know that love. Then you can be filled with the goodness of God. Amen? Now, this is the same Paul who was shipwrecked. It's the same Paul that went through all this chaos on that boat. It's the same Paul who used to criticize and kill Christians until God changed his world. And I know that God is changing our world even as we go through these storms in life. Our decade-long storm, I believe, is going to come to an end. How? I can't even imagine. When? I don't know, but I hope soon. And when is your storm going to come to an end? I don't know. God knows. And if you're not in a storm right now, brace yourself. It's probably coming along the way. But at the end of that storm, what do we always have at the end of that storm? Promise, that rainbow. You got the picture, Casey? Ooh, right before me. Good job, Victoria. We always have that storm in life. It could be a week-long storm. It could be a day-long storm. It could be a lifetime storm. But there's always the promise at the end of it, that that darkness will pass and God's promise will be there because he loves you. And we don't need to doubt. And when you feel yourself fail, oh, okay. And when you see yourself falter or your faith starting to weaken, grab back onto that broken board, grab back onto the cross, and hold on because God will take you. Amen? We don't need to hold on and try to do it ourselves. Just let go and let God. Amen? And don't sing that Frozen song, Let It Go, because we are done with that. That generation has passed in our house. Amen. We are going to hold on to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Well, let's go ahead and just bow your heads in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that promise that will never fade. That rainbow is always shining brightly because you will never come into our lives and make a promise and then not fulfill it. Those promises will be fulfilled, Lord, and we believe and we trust you. And as the devil tries to attack harder and harder and that storm gets darker and darker and we can't even see what's right in front of us, I pray, Lord God, that you bring little mini miracles along that trail, along that journey to strengthen our faith, to push our minds back to focus only on you and not on the storm. And Lord God, we believe you and we believe there will be answers that we can't even imagine. But Lord, we know that the answers you bring are more exciting. They're more powerful. They're more impactful than our human minds can even imagine. And Lord, we thank you that you're bringing that storm. Church, let's go ahead and stand up together. Let's go ahead and just stand up, but stay in this attitude of prayer. each have our own storms. So as Michelle strums and plays beautifully, as she always does, I just want you to take this peaceful moment to just reflect on what that storm is and imagine it like this picture. It's dark. But then start to think of that promise that God gave you. And imagine those beautiful colors. The reds, the yellows, the blues. It always brings joy when you look up in the sky and see a rainbow, because it means a promise. So imagine that promise again. And don't let the devil steal your promise. We thank you for that broken body. You sacrificed your body for us on that cross. By doing so, you saved us all. Our souls. We have chosen you. And the storms that we're going through, we look to you, Father. We might look up and see nothing. We might look up and see darkness, even the darkest dark that we've ever seen. But Father, shine that rainbow strong. That promise that you gave us. Whatever that promise is to each individual in this room, Lord God, it's all different. Whether that promise be you're going to get that new job. Whether that promise be that loved one will finally give their lives to God. Whether that miracle, Lord God, that rainbow promise is a healing. Even if it's a healing that this world says is impossible. Whatever that promise is that we're each holding on to, we believe you, Lord God. We believe you. And Holy Spirit, give us strength when we feel that we're weak, that we're broken, and that there's nothing else we can do. That you will help us to stretch our arms to heaven and say, Father, here I am. Father, help me. Make it alone. There's nothing. There's absolute hopelessness. But even the name of this church simplifies it. Hope Community. There is hope. Not hope in one another. Not hope in the finance you get in a paycheck. There is hope in the one true God. There is not hope praying to a statue. There is not hope going to someone else to say, forgive me of my sins. There is only hope in Jesus Christ. He is the one and only that we need to go to. Our God is the one we need to go to. So forget the doubters that might be around you. Forget the people that might say, Daniel's never going to be healed. No one's ever been healed from autism. Doesn't matter what you say. We've heard stories of other people being healed from autism. And God can raise the dead, so of course he can heal something like autism. So Heavenly Father, we raise our hands and we just say, Father, here we are. You take us, you lead us. You are the one who sees the light at the end. So, Father, we thank you for the promises. We thank you for the glorious colors of a rainbow that remind us of your promises. And we will keep stretching to you, Father, no matter how dark the night might be, because joy comes in the morning. Amen, church. Amen. Joy comes in the morning. Amen. Let's give him a praise.
If I can just, Pastor, if
praise
I...
the Lord. Hold on, Michelle. Praise the Lord. I said this last week, and she wasn't here to hear it, so I'll say it again. I'm so proud of Alyssa, of how she's grown through every storm in our lives. We lost a child. We struggled with Daniel and to some extent, Sarah. Pray for her.
Strong-willed.
But I'm so proud of my wife. I'm so proud of how she's grown through it all. Stronger and stronger and stronger. To God be the glory. Because His word is truth. He does not suffer His righteous to be moved. And no matter what's come, the solid foundation is Jesus Christ. And in Him, there's no sinking sand. In Him, the tree is not toppled over. He will sustain. He will sustain. And joy comes in the mornings. Lord, I thank You for a wife that is strong in You and can see the hope, even in that dark cloud, can see the hope of Your word, the hope of Your signs and wonders. Lord, I pray right now for every miracle, that every prayer request that's out there right now in this church, these church families that we love dearly, everyone that's waiting for God to do an amazing work. We stand together on a solid foundation that Jesus Christ, that everything's in Your timing will come and You will make a way, and there'll be revival when You move. And we thank You that You've got this. You've got this, Lord. Our hope is in You. Our hope is in You. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God the glory. Amen. Again.